The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on December 7th, 2014.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
We lift our hearts up to the Lord today on the second Sunday of Advent as we continue our journey to Bethlehem and to the birth of Jesus. It's good to see everybody here today. If you're visiting, and a quick scan reveals I don't think we have any first-time visitors here. But if you're visiting, we hope you can join us for some fellowship time after worship in the fellowship hall, which is over in that direction. And if you are visiting for the first time, and I haven't recognized you, please take one of those cards in the pews, the visitor cards, and share your information with us. Let's continue our time of preparation for worship and do that with a time of silence.
Advent is a time of waiting for the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. Long, long ago, the people of Israel were waiting for a leader who would save them, treat everyone fairly, and most of all, follow God's will.
The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, like a branch that sprout from the stump, someone from King David's family will someday be king. The Spirit of the Lord will be with him and give him wisdom, insight, and understanding. He will be powerful and will know the honor and honor the Lord. The king will judge by appearances and listen to rumors. The poor and the needy will be treated with fairness and justice.
Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ, whose father was part of King David's family. Jesus taught his followers to treat everyone, and especially the poor, with fairness and justice. And he said, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother."
More than 250 years after Jesus was born, a man named Nicholas was born. His family was very wealthy, but he gave away most of his money to help the poor and needy, especially the children.
Last week, we lit a candle to remind us of Jesus' mother, Mary. Today, we light a candle to remember Nicholas, who was also a member of Jesus' family, doing God's will and showing God's love for all.
Let us pray.
Loving and generous God, at this time of year, we spend much time wondering what we will get for Christmas. Help us to remember that you also want us to give to others, especially those who are hungry, poor, needy, or homeless. May we follow
in the footsteps
of Jesus and Nicholas as we share your love at Christmas time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
James is my hero. He resisted the temptation to tell the children that he wrote the book of James, that the scripture lesson came from. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a great Peanuts cartoon that shows Lucy and Linus walking away after having apparently visited a department store Santa. And Lucy says to Linus, "Well, did you tell Santa Claus what you wanted for Christmas?" And Linus said, "Sure. I also wished him a very happy Hanukkah." Then goes to the next panel. We didn't have that much time, but we discussed Judas Maccabeus and the cleansing of the temple, which, of course, is the story of Hanukkah and the lamps. There was not enough oil, but they burned miraculously for 8 days. But we discussed Judas Maccabeus and the cleansing of the temple. And in the final panel, Linus says, "It's not often that you can find a Santa Claus who's interested in religion." Boy, they're having fun down there. The real St. Nicholas was most definitely interested in religion. Yesterday in Europe and in some traditions in America, it was St. Nicholas Day, St. Nicholas Day, a day of giving, a day to remember a man whose Christ-like virtues made him a saint in the Roman Catholic and Orthodox traditions. As we prepare for the birth of the Savior that Nicholas followed so well, perhaps it's good to reflect on his life just a little bit. The place to start is with today's Advent candle lighting, where Isaiah proclaimed, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse." And from there, he tells us about the profile of a great king who would come and bring peace and harmony in the spirit of David, who was Jesse's son. And Isaiah tells us, "The Spirit of the Lord will be with him to give him wisdom, insight, and understanding. He will be powerful and will know and honor the Lord. The king won't judge by appearances or listen to rumors. The poor and the needy will be treated with fairness and justice." We read that passage in Advent because it's a prediction of the coming Messiah and the spirit with which that Messiah, Jesus Christ, will rule. And it's descriptive of Jesus' concern for the poor. Jesus teaching that the meek shall inherit the earth, and he does this with wisdom and understanding that were at the core of his ministry. We read that passage today, and we lighted the candle today, actually in honor of St. Nicholas, because that passage is a description of the first St. Nicholas, the real St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was born into a wealthy family in what is now modern-day Turkey. We don't know how and when he became a bishop, but he occupied the see of the city of Myra. He was born wealthy, but he gave away, as he read in the Bible, Jesus said, "Give away all that you have to the poor and follow me." So St. Nicholas did that. His feast day is December 6th, presumably the day of his death. Now, a lot of stories, legends, and accounts have grown up around St. Nicholas, and full disclosure, we don't have a lot of historical facts about St. Nicholas, but while the details in some of these stories are carried to extremes, I believe, and a lot of other folks believe, that there's a kernel of truth about who this man was. And so the stories are passed down. We hear stories about a man who intervened on more than one occasion to stop the execution of men who were falsely accused of capital crimes. In one dramatic story, Nicholas grabs the executioner's hand and sword as he is swinging it to kill the prisoner, frees the prisoner, takes him to court, and his innocence is established. Nicholas' stories abound about him providing food in times of need. There are miracle stories which rose up about him. Stories about how St. Nicholas rescued sailors from storms on the sea, and who thus became the patron saint of sailors. In many countries, including England, now in England, the patron saint of England is St. George. There are more churches on the coastline of England named after St. Nicholas than there are named after St. George because of the seafaring tradition. Greek and Russian sailors never sailed without an icon of St. Nicholas in the ship. And in the most famous story, St. Nicholas saved the lives of three young women. Back in those days, a young woman's father had to offer prospective husbands something of value if the man was to marry a dowry. The larger the dowry, the better the chance that a young woman would find a good husband. Without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to marry. And so in this particular story, and this tells you a whole lot about the status of women back in those days. So don't shoot the messenger, okay? Without a dowry, a woman was unlikely to marry. And so without those dowries, the father faced the horrible choice of perhaps having to sell his daughters into a particularly heinous form of slavery, namely sexual slavery, namely prostitution. Nicholas learned of the situation, and so he went to the house at night. And he threw a bag of gold, his own money, into an open window. It landed in the shoe of the oldest daughter. And then the father rejoiced. I have a dowry for my oldest daughter. Nicholas did it again a second night, throws it in the window. It lands in the shoe of the middle daughter. Now the man has two daughters. But he can't figure out where's his gold coming from. The third night, the man hides outside the house. Nicholas comes. Nicholas tosses the gold in, lands in the shoe of the youngest daughter, and the man confronts him and holds on to him. Well, he wants to thank him, but Nicholas swears the man to secrecy. He didn't want others to know, but obviously word got out. Now, a later variation on the story tells us of another way that Nicholas delivered the gold, and how was that? Down the chimney, right. Bingo, there you go. And we're off and running, right? There we go. Nicholas going down the chimney, and there it is. Throughout Europe, Nicholas became a real part of families, moving out of the church setting into home, where family devotion became the heart of keeping his stories alive. December 6th became associated with giving. With giving. Think about that. Giving on December 6th. You know what's really good about that? What's really good about giving on December 6th? It's not Christmas. It's not Christmas. It separates it. It separates it from the birth of Christ. Right? Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. I invite you to, and of course in America, you know what happened. Clement Clark Moore's poem, speaking of St. Nicholas, he had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf. Thomas Nast, the famous political cartoonist, took it from there, and he drew St. Nicholas that way. But what's the most famous image and the one that really locked the image of Santa Claus into our minds? Where did that come from? a campaign for Coca-Cola. Right? Jolly old St. Nick slugging down nice, syrupy, sugary Coca-Cola. And again, the rest is history. I invite you to set those images aside for a moment. As we gather around the table today, I invite you to think of the original St. Nicholas, the real St. Nicholas, the thin, tall, gaunt, ascetic saint. Think of the man of justice. Think of the man with concern for the poor, the innocent. Think of the man of simple, practical, charitable assistance. And all those, and how he served all those who were victims of difficult circumstances. And I invite you to think of what does it mean that over the years, over the centuries, we have taken the deep passion. St. Nicholas had to be pretty passionate, right? Had to be pretty faithful. Had to take some big chances. What does it say about us that in our tradition, we've really smoothed down those edges and changed the picture of Santa Claus? Why did St. Nicholas get transformed in the way that he did? What is it about our corporate faith that can't maintain the intensity, the commitment, and the passion of someone like Nicholas? Nicholas's name is composed of two Greek words, Nikai, meaning victory, Laos, meaning the people, laity, the people. Nicholas, victory of the people. Cardinal Sean O'Malley says that prior to St. Nicholas, the church considered only martyrs as saints. That is, in other words, if you wanted to be a saint, you had to die for the faith, and the more gruesome your death, probably the better chance you'd be named a saint. St. Nicholas was canonized in the Catholic tradition because he witnessed to his faith in Christ by how he lived, by his love for others, and especially the poor and the needy. And Catholic writer John Feister writes, Nicholas teaches us that faithful followers of Jesus defend those who are wrongly accused. Today we can see the face of Jesus not only in political prisoners around the world, but also in anyone who suffers from false accusation. After all, wasn't Jesus himself executed on false charges? St. Nicholas, he continues, shows us how to find Jesus in the poor, the oppressed, and the abused. He was devoted to charity, and we do charity pretty well at this time of year. But St. Nicholas always linked charity with justice. Charity with justice. So this Christmas season, this Advent, think of the real St. Nicholas. And think of who he was and what he did and how his faith was abundantly full of the works that James called for in the Bible. Amen.
And our today's sermon was delivered by Michael O'Brien, interim pastor. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James Magnich. If you can't visit us in person, visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2014 and provided under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.